Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Today we are talking about the blessedness of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And what does that even mean, to hunger and to thirst? In Jesus' day in Jerusalem, people knew what it meant to hunger and thirst. A man in those days was the one who would have earned a wage. A man in those days would have made a few pennies a day. Even if you take an account for inflation and the cost of living and the purchasing power of money, that still means that in Jerusalem in those days, the average person ate meat once a week because the costs were so great. The average person was merely one missed day of work or one missed day of wages away from having to go hungry. And a few missed days' wages from starvation. We don't really understand that in our world. In our world and in most of our lives, the idea of hunger and thirst really isn't something that we experience. Imagine in Jesus' day being someone who was walking from town to town, or perhaps if you had the means, riding a donkey from town to town, and a sandstorm comes up. There's no roadside shelters. There's no storm shelters. There's no rest stops or gas stations along the way. If you're caught in the middle between two towns, you would have laid down or sat down near your animal, covered your face with whatever outer garments you had, and tried as hard as you could to breathe so that the dust and the sand would not clog your mouth and your nose. And you would have waited. And once it was all done, and that pasty dryness in your mouth was all that was left from the sandstorm, you didn't walk over to a water spigot to rinse your mouth out. You didn't have bottles of water. You would walk to the next village and finally get to wherever you were staying and dip from a well. What does it mean for us to hunger and thirst? In the Jost family, hunger means the word hangry. That's what I've learned over the years. I'm not really good at dealing with it because I don't get hungry quite like that. I can go most of the day without eating, and then I can eat and be satisfied and go the rest of the day. I'm just not a regular eater. Even looking at me, you would think, that guy's a regular eater. Maybe that's the reason I look like I do. I should eat more regular square meals. But it's not me. But in our house, if you go a certain amount of time past a meal time, all of a sudden, hangry hits. Does anybody? Does any? Yes, there it is. Now we're at church. I don't know. I'm not gonna say anything about gender.
Hey, I will.
Not gonna say.
No, my son has it bad.
Bad.
Long meeting with this guy. Remind him you need to eat.
You have to eat. But what's interesting is when hangry hits, maybe we don't know about that kind of hunger in Jerusalem. But the reality is when hangry hits, everything changes. My observation is, and this is from observation, is that all of a sudden the attitude changes from an attitude of positivity to one of grumpiness. And then all of a sudden the focus changes. It changes from being able to focus on the other tasks at hand to focusing on I need food. And then that focus changes, and all of a sudden, there's nothing that can satisfy. And even if you finally get food, the whole attitude lingers. For those who get hangry, it's a real thing. That's really how they feel. And what they want is they just simply want to eat a meal and to be filled. Jesus is looking at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are hangry for righteousness, who want nothing more than to fill your soul with righteousness. That when you can't, you feel off. That when you can't be and fill yourself with righteousness, that you feel dry. That feelings, that life is not right. Blessed are you when that's how you feel for righteousness." We've seen this in the world around us. If you're not hungry for righteousness, then it probably means you're filling yourself with something else. Because all of us hunger. And how we fill our lives determines if we will ever be filled. I would say, as we talk through this, that one of the challenges is when we fill ourselves full of the stuff that this world has to offer, we never quite get full. But when, as Jesus says, we fill ourselves with righteousness, when the focus of our lives is on God and serving and loving and learning and filling ourselves with the presence of God, we can, in fact, be filled. Be filled even, as scriptures say, to overflowing. And that overflowing can then in turn be a part of what fills others. The object that we are as a vessel, God wants to fill us. But before he does, we must hunger and thirst for righteousness, not for other things. We all know people who hunger and thirst for recognition from this world, rather than hungering to please the one audience who we must please. We know those folks. They're the ones who clamor for attention at work, who are always seeking to get promoted over and above others. We know the people in our own lives who hunger and thirst for recognition and speak poorly about us when others are listening, and would never say that to our own faces. Who will find every opportunity they can to say to others how bad we are in order to make themselves look better. They hunger and thirst and long to be filled with recognition from this world. And in the end, it leaves them empty over and over, to where just like drugs, they continually try and fill the need by promoting themselves over and above others in their lives. They hunger for the recognition of this world. But we also know those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and for the approval of one audience, the audience of their Lord. If we're honest, we know those people in our own lives. In my past, it's probably just about the same for my wife and some other people in this room, but the pastor's wife at First Assembly in Overland Park, Pastor Howard, his wife, Maxine Howard, we called her Sister Howard. That's what we called her, Sister Howard. Was a humble woman. She was the kind of woman who carried a great deal of influence and authority in the church, yet never asked for any of it. Her spirit of humility, her prayerful spirit, the way she gave, the way she talked to people, the gentleness that she came across every person, even young people that came into the church that didn't look like any of the other young people in the church, namely me. It was amazing to watch a person like that and the authority she had in that church, and yet she never asked for any of that. The power of one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. When they seek an audience of one, there is a sense of calmness and a sense of assurance that others recognize. And then there's those who thirst for the stuff of this world, excuse me, rather than longing and thirsting for treasures in heaven. In Johnson County, that's probably the easiest to recognize. The people who we were walking out of, a store the other day, and there's this car, a Maserati SUV, sitting right there next to our little Toyota Scion. And I just decided, how much is this car? Really, how much is it? $140,000. $165,000. They're driving a house. They are driving a house. And in reality, I know that some people need the extra seats and the extra room, but surely a Toyota Highlander, I'm saying that for Paul and Dennis's sake, or even the Ford Explorer. Even one of those, surely we could have done something more affordable. We know the kind of people in our own circles that clamor for stuff so that they can be recognized. They put their weight, their importance in the ability to live in a certain zip code, go to a certain school, or drive a certain car or wear a certain brand. We know those folks who enough is never enough. One of the old steel age tycoons, when asked how much was enough, his response was, one more dollar. Then I'll have enough. Just one more dollar. It never ends. And tell me we don't know people, if not in our own families, in our own circles, that never are filled because they're constantly trying to get that next thing. And tell me that you don't know in your own life the peace that comes when you realize that you put something in the offering and you don't feel like it's much, but it was a sacrifice for you. When someone comes and says, I need help, and you spend a day that you would have rested otherwise, taking sheetrock out of a basement. Or when a church member calls or a friend calls and you spend the next hour and a half on the phone just talking with them and missing whatever show you had sat down to watch on television. Tell me you don't remember the feeling that it feels to be satisfied, to be filled with doing what God would have you do at that moment. It's interesting how much that quenches the thirst in our lives to be accepted and to be loved when we love first. And then those who hunger for their own path, who hunger for doing it their way instead of God's way. We know those folks because we have been those folks, if we aren't still those folks, who follow whatever we feel will satisfy us first, and we strive and attain the things that we put in front of us rather than listening quietly to the voice of God. This is Peter's moment when he is sitting there and toward the end of Jesus' ministry in John chapter 13. And they are about to celebrate the last Passover together. And Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to depart, it says in 13, starting in verse 1. And for him to go from this world and to go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put in the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that his Father had given all things to his hands, and that he had come to God and was come from God and was going to God, got up from the table. Jesus took off his outer robe and tied a towel around him and poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. And he began to wipe them with a towel tied around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." Because for Simon, he realized at this moment that Jesus was taking a posture of servitude towards him that he felt was inappropriate for his rabbi to do. It should be Simon who was washing feet. He knew that. But Jesus was serving in a far greater way than Simon could even realize. And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus said, listen to this, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon said to him, "Lord, then, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." For those who hunger for this world, we don't go all in for righteousness. We must surrender one hunger and take up another. Peter understood that this was the moment that he was to surrender his role and he must fully be immersed in what Jesus was offering. He didn't just want a part of it, he wanted all of it. And this is the moment that Simon Peter hungered and thirsted for righteousness, that it was beyond his capacity. He longed for nothing more than to have all of what Jesus would give him that day. My question for us as we leave this place, are you blessed? Do you hunger and thirst like Peter did in that moment for righteousness? Have you looked in the eyes of your Savior and said, "Not just my feet, Lord, but my hands and my head as well. Wash me all, because I'm all in." Are you hangry for righteousness? I can't answer how that will look for you, but I can answer how it will feel, because you'll finally be filled. When you lay aside the needs of everything else, you will feel that sense of fullness that the world could never give. May we go from here today, and this week, may we finally be full. Filled with righteousness.